everybody. This is Dr. Lori Shemek.
And I'm Omar Cumberbatch. You're listening to This Podcast Burns Fat. Hey, Lori, how are you today?
Hi, Omar. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. It is good. Absolutely gorgeous now in New York,
I know.
Finally.
And where I live, too, in Texas. It is so beautiful here. You know, I always bring up that the winter of you know what, that I thought plants would never live again. They're resilient. Just like what we teach here. So
absolutely.
Resilience. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. And speaking of resilient, we have an awesome guest today who is really showing us how to be resilient with a number of her approaches to fitness. Mm-hmm. And I mean, really, really got a lot out of her. Her name's Kathleen Trotter, and she was a fantastic guest.
Oh, she was. She is so much fun. And she's very well known in the nutrition and fitness world. She's been a big player in that. And she, you know, is a writer for The Globe, for the Huffington Post. She's an author. Finding Your Fit is the name of her book. She's a nutritionist, and the list goes on and on. But one thing I love about Kathleen is that she's down to earth, and she lets you know when she's not doing it, you know, why she's not doing it or how she fits it into her day. I was really impressed with how much she does in a day, in fact.
Yeah, no, it's actually crazy how much she does in a day, but it's one of those things that I felt she reinforced is that we do have a lot of time that we just don't recognize. I had like a little trick that I used to do with my clients to get them to drink water and like to do an exercise, right? So, and you know, obviously I promote hydration, drinking a lot of water and all that good stuff. But what happens when you drink a lot of water? You got to go to the bathroom. So every time you go to the bathroom, do like 10 to 15 squats. And all of a sudden people are doing like 200 squats a day. So they're doing or jumping jacks or something in the bathroom that they could just, you know, do for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that is the way to create a new habit is to pair it up with something you're already doing.
Yes,
and you attach it to that thing you're already doing.
Yep. And she breaks down a whole bunch of those because she's very much into the habit stuff as well. And just
that's right.
It was a really, really good show. I know the audience is going to get a ton out of it.
Oh, yeah. I know I did. So looking forward to it.
Yep. Let's jump into it.
Okay.
Hey, Kath. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hi, how are you, Kathleen? I love this three-way podcast. I don't know if I've ever done, I've only ever done one of them before. I feel like we're going to have such an adventure.
Oh, welcome, Kathleen. We're so happy you're here. Oh, and, you know, you've been just a dynamo in especially the fitness field and the nutrition field, and I'm gathering the habit field. So we'll delve into that a little bit. But could you just give us a little bit of a background on you so that people know, you know, if you don't know who Kathleen Trotter is, she's absolutely wonderful and we're so honored to have you. So if you could just give those who don't.
Every morning with this like affirmation, this is amazing. I'll start very quickly. The thing that I think that I try to instill in people is that I did not start my life as a healthy person. I was overweight, unhappy. I ate my way through my parents' divorce. And I think the trick is so many people with health and wellness, they're like, oh, I'm not a motivated person. People like Kathleen are. Why should I even try? It's easy for her. And I just like to really, really hammer home, like, it's not, I mean, it's still not easy. Mm-hmm. It's easier than it was, but it's been such a journey. You know, I went from being the type of person who would lie to get out of gym class. I would sneak food. I will never forget going to the convenience store, buying a bunch of junk food, leaving, eating all the junk food, and then going back to the convenience store and pretending to the clerk that I'd given it away. Or one day I would say like, oh, I dropped it on the floor. I couldn't eat it. So I need more. Or like, I was so shamed around food and mm-hmm. I worked so hard. And so, but it's been such an evolution. And now instead of being sort of oppressed by all of the shoulds of fitness, I feel so much more empowered. I enjoy working out for the most part, for the most days, you know, and I've just created.
We all have those days.
You know, we all have those days. But I think the people listening, like, I hope that, especially if they're newer listeners, they really like hear that we all have the days. And when you have one of those days, that doesn't mean that it's a reason to quit. That's the day that's like, okay, interesting. I just have to have, you know, better systems that set my future less motivated up. Self up for success, right? So if you know that you're not motivated every Monday morning, then Monday morning is maybe the day that you have a friend waiting on Zoom with you to do a workout, or, you know, you set the alarm across the room. So you have to get up to turn the alarm off because you know you're going to be extra unmotivated on that day, right? And I've just learned over the last 20 years what works for me and what systems I need. And I found, you know, people who help and motivate me. And really, I have to, in all seriousness, I credit my mom, because she said to me when I was younger, you know, she said, Kathleen, we have to find a way that works for you to move. Like, movement has to be a non-negotiable. And how do we make that happen? Like, it doesn't matter what works for all of your peers, what works for you. So she got me a membership to the YMCA, and the membership at the Y was like, you know, over 40 and under 5. And so I felt comfortable because I wasn't around, like, kids my own age just made me feel so ashamed of my body and I just hated it. So yeah, I started at the Y, I started walking for 10 minutes, and then I started walking for 20 minutes and then doing some weights. And then that turned into, you know, taking aerobics classes, which turned into teaching aerobics classes, which turned into, you know, going to kinesiology and then getting a master's in exercise science and taking Pilates and, you know, gradually then becoming a life coach. But it was this gradual evolution. And I don't know, I just think you don't have to be great to start anything, but you do have to start to get great. And it's that first step that's so often so, it feels so scary, but you just have to kind of start. And so I credit my mom, and I will be thankful for her forever to just sort of, you know, she's like, I'm going to go to the Y with you. I'm going to be your person.
Wow.
And don't be afraid, and we'll do it together. Mm-hmm. Right. You know?
You know, that's excellent. And one of the things that I did really pick up when I was doing some research on you, one of the most important things that I found, you know, to even with myself, is to find out what your fitness personality is. And can you talk about that? Because I think that a lot of people can benefit from that concept, knowing that they don't have to necessarily do exactly what they see on Instagram or Facebook or wherever they, you know, get this information. Can you talk about that for a drop?
Absolutely. It's one of my absolute favorite. I think it goes with just meeting yourself where you are. And, you know, James Clear has this idea that you have to standardize before you can optimize. And so you have to standardize the habit of, like, showing up for yourself, of exercising, of eating vegetables, whatever the habit is that you want. And you can always optimize it later. But if you don't meet yourself where you are, you have nothing to optimize, right? Like, or I will say to people, you have to create the habit so then you can tweak the habit. But I think a lot of us are so into finding the perfect workout that we try to optimize before we have any habit of just moving or just focusing on food or whatever it is.
Or so, knowing what works for us.
Oh my God. No, yes. You have to know, you have to meet yourself where you are. And part of meeting yourself is knowing who you are and what's going to work, because, you know, you can make yourself do the most, you know, quote unquote, best program maybe for the week, but it doesn't matter what you can do for a week. It matters what you can do, you know, consistently over the long term. And you can't fit a square peg into a round hole for long term. And the benefits of the best anything are moot if you can't actually make yourself do it. So running is great if you can run and not get injured, if you can run and actually run. You know, if you love CrossFit is great. But if you're just going to look at your phone and be like, oh my God, I'm supposed to go to CrossFit, I hate it, I'm not going to go, then it's not doing you any good. So I like to use my mom and my dad as examples of, so I call them the four fitness personalities, and the four ones are busy multitaskers, competitive bunny, gym bunny, and home bunny. Now, before I go into these four, I think it's also important to know that they can evolve. So if we look at my fitness journey, I started as more of the home bunny. Like, so before I was even willing to go to the Y and do my 10 minutes on the treadmill, my mom and I actually started doing a couple of the Jane Fonda at home videos. And then that transitioned into going to the Y. So the idea being that meet yourself.
Oh my gosh, Jane Fonda. I remember that. I did that too. We must be the same age.
For Halloween, I'm like, I got to dress up like in the unitard and the colorful tights. And
yeah.
But yeah, so if we look at my dad is much more of a competitive bunny. He loves to play hockey. So his thing is he plays hockey 4 days a week. He's amazing. He's like 70 and he plays hockey 4 days a week and he lives on a farm. So he like chops wood. He does all this stuff. So he's a combination of the busy multitasker, as in like he likes to do chores that have connection to his like home, and the competitive bunny. And the thing is that because he loves to do those two things, that's his driving force, his why. He will then do like ankle strengthening exercises and balance, but it's not because he loves doing the strength exercises, but it's because he knows that if he doesn't do the strength, he won't be able to do the things that he loves. Right. So it's that idea of like, he meets himself where he is. He doesn't try to be anybody other than himself. He's not the type of person who wants to go to like hot yoga or whatever, but that's fine. That's who he is. My mom, she likes to walk the dog. She likes to do yoga at home. So she's kind of a combo of the busy multitasker, right? Walking the dog. It's, you know, she makes it part of her life. And then she will also do yoga and stuff at home, but she finds it too stressful to like go to yoga classes. It's just like the travel, half an hour there and then half an hour home. I mean, not that you can do yoga classes right now anyways, COVID, but you know what I mean? The idea of like, for her, that really works. But again, she met herself where she is, because she will, if she said to me, you know, if I said to her, well, in order to get fit, you have to do, you know, 5 spin classes every week, she'd look at me and she'd be like, well, Kathleen, that's crazy. I'm going to do nothing. Right. So those are two examples of people. Now I love my Peloton. And so I love much more of that like gym atmosphere of like other people around. I get the competitive, I get to see where I was and where I'm going. So I've always been that sort of combination of the gym bunny and the competitive bunny. But what is wonderful is it can change. When I was in my 20s, I was much more the competitive bunny. I did Ironmans, I did marathons, and I really needed that like external goals, external community. And then I went into my 30s, I got my business, my studio, and it was just like, that was too much on my body. It was too stressful. So I sort of morphed more into a little bit more of like the gym bunny. I love going to Pilates classes. I like figuring out sort of different ways of moving my body. I was getting a little bit older. I didn't need to sort of run for 4 hours at a time. So I think it's just that idea of thriving in your own lane and you know, comparison being the thief of joy. So instead of trying to be a second rate version of somebody else, be a first rate version of you. Like, meet yourself where you are, know what you like, know that what you like can change. You can always optimize, but you have to figure out what you can do now. And health, so often people are like, I'm going to get fit on Monday. I'm going to find the perfect workout. I'm going to do it later. But perfect is just a way to procrastinate, right? There will never be the perfect day. There will never be the perfect workout. There'll never be the perfect anything, because perfect doesn't exist. So instead, say, okay, I got today. I got this moment, the only moment I can control. What is the thing that this version of me will do now? Like, what is my current fitness personality? So I don't know. Do you guys have a fitness personality that sort of grabs you?
Yeah, I think I'm a combination for sure. Yeah, as well. I'm a combination.
Yeah. Right, I don't know about nothing.
Omar, that's hilarious.
I have no interest in this point.
I feel, Omar, you need some Carol Dweck. She writes a lot about growth mindset, and her favorite word is yet. So what I would say to you is, I'm not the person who's working out yet, but my future self will be.
Yeah, you know, I love that.
I was a big gym person. I definitely like to go to the gym, but after obviously all the shutdowns and stuff and being in New York, we literally just opened up the gyms a little while ago. So I think that's where I'll be eventually going back to more into the gym environment.
Yeah. I think the trick with fitness is, though, I mean, not to sort of be contrarian, but I do think that the thing with fitness is you have to be able to pivot. And although the four fitness personalities are fantastic, they have to be underneath the overarching umbrella that movement is a non-negotiable. So if you go to the gym, how do you make it? If you know you're a gym bunny, how do you make a gym in your home? So how do you say to yourself, okay, this might be 2 feet from me. Right now I'm in my living room. I'm sort of motioning to the sort of my living room, the mat that's in the middle of my living room. That's going to be my gym. Okay. So when I go to my gym, I might put an out of office on my computer and it says, Kathleen is currently at the gym. Don't bother me. And the gym could be 2 feet away, but I've mentally gone to that space. Maybe I get myself a kettlebell. Maybe I get myself, you know, a pull-up bar or whatever it is. And because I think it's so easy to say, well, like tomorrow I will do X. But again, like since this moment is the only moment we have control over, so much of it is like, okay,
yeah.
So has thrown so much at me. Plan A doesn't work. Plan B doesn't work. Plan C doesn't work. plan D doesn't have to be perfect, but something has to happen. And it could be, Omar, like right now, you said you have two young kids. Like maybe it's just taking the kids and going for a walk in the stroller. Mm-hmm. Like that's movement. It doesn't have to be exercise. It just has to be something. And that idea of like something is better than nothing, because something.
And it really is, because you know, when you move, you actually produce antioxidants endogenously. So I think it's, you know, that's why it's so dangerous to sit all the time and to be sedentary.
You create everything. It's like you're giving mm-hmm. yourself like a drug infusion, but from the inside. It's that mm-hmm. internal, right? It's like, you know, your everything changes, your dopamine, your serotonin, like all your neurotransmitters, you get your blood flowing. It impacts positively, impacts your immune system. It helps, you know, defog your brain. It gives you more energy. It gives you more focus. And that's with like, five, 10 minutes. Like you could just put on some music and dance around. Like it doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to happen. Consistency.
Because our bodies are meant to move. And that's the key.
Oh my God. That could be the name of the podcast episode. Our bodies are meant to move. Movement is medicine. It really is like, you know, instead of having a cup of coffee, go for a 10-minute walk, right? Like it's, mm-hmm. it's coffee, but from the inside.
You know, you describe something, and if you could, for our listeners, activation before motivation, what is that actually?
Okay. So, activation before motivation. So I think our brain often plays tricks on ourselves. It's what's called present bias. So the idea being that our brain is wired to keep us like alive versus healthy and happy. So we think that, okay, if right now I'm lying in bed, I'm sort of tired, we think, well, I'm always going to be tired. I don't mean think consciously, like in our conscious mind. I think what I mean is our brain, like that unconscious feeling of, okay, I'm tired. So it's like, why would I even work out? I'm tired. But we have to learn to use self-talk and sort of that self-knowledge of what's going to make us feel better to say, yeah, brain, you might be tired, but guess what? Just because you're tired now doesn't mean you're always going to be tired. So a lot of working out is actually saying to yourself, you don't wait until you're motivated to do stuff, because the days that you're motivated are actually the days that you don't even really, you need the workout less on the days you're motivated, because you're always already feeling really good. The days that you need the motivation are the days that you are also probably feeling sluggish. So therefore you need to move. And then when you move, you actually end up feeling more motivated. But it's with a lot of things. It's not just motivation, like it's activation. Like let's say you're having a fight with your partner and you're having a fight because you're feeling sort of disconnected from that person and you really want them to love you. Well, our inclination is to stick our back up and to have more of a fight, which actually moves us farther away from what we want. Whereas what we really want is to feel connected. But if we need to feel connected, then we need to reach out and sort of say like, okay, I'm not going to be mad just for the sake of being mad. And then the person says, I love you. And then you make up and you feel the feeling that you want, right? So it's that idea of like, you have to activate and move towards what you want, because often our brain is so afraid and it's just, we have so many cognitive distortions that we move away from the self that we want to be. Like if you're feeling depressed, what you need is friends and what you want is that human connection. But the more depressed you feel, the more you want to disconnect from the world. That's just like how we're wired. So what we have to be better at is saying like, oh, I feel depressed. Okay, I'm going to reach out to a friend and say like, do you want to go for a walk? And that in the end, that activation will then make you feel better. So with exercise, I always say to my clients, like the worse you're mood, the more important the workout, because the workout will help improve your mood. If your energy is really low, you know, all you're going to want to do is hang out and watch Netflix. But really what you need is to put some music on and dance around.
And that I have to say is truly the crux of getting people to start working out, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's because they're feeling so unmotivated, no energy at all. And yet if you were to tell them that all you have to do is move, you're going to get that energy back. And it really does happen. It's just, they don't have it, you know? So it's really a huge step when they do take that one step. Yeah. It's huge.
The thing that my therapist gave to me, and we call it a mood journal. And now I get all of my clients to do it, because you're right. It's once you understand that you will feel better when you move, it's easier to make yourself move, but it's very hard when you don't have that body knowledge, that body memory, right? The muscle memory. So
right. What
I want my clients to do is keep a journal for 2 weeks. And at the beginning of the day, you write down on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you mood wise? So let's say you're at a 1 out of 10. Then after you do your workout, you mark down what number you're at. And believe me, you're going to be slightly higher. Even if it's just 1.1, most of the time it's like you move from a 1 to like a 5 out of 10, right? Like you always increase your mood. then you keep that data. So the next time you don't want to work out, you can actually look at that mood journal and you could be like, oh, interesting. I'm always higher after I work out, blah, 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 go work out. So that's one thing that I find is really useful is it's just basically like,
just do it.
Do it. But it's more than just do it. You have to teach your brain that just doing it is actually going to like make you feel better. And that's why that data is a really good thing. And then the second thing I would say is really key is understanding that BJ Fogg talks about it like the ride of motivation or the wave of motivation. And so what you have to appreciate is that everybody has that wave. And unfortunately, that present bias really screws us because what happens is you decide your goals when you're at the top of the motivational wave. So it's like January 1st, you're like, I'm so motivated. I'm going to work out 5 days this week. The problem is what you don't understand is that the next morning at 6 a.m., you are not going to want to work out, right? That's that idea of present bias. When you're motivated, you feel like you're always going to be motivated. You are not always going to be motivated. So instead of saying, you know, this week I'm going to work out 5 days, what you have to say is this week, if I'm going to make myself work out 5 days, I need to create systems that are going to save me from my future less motivated self. Like you have to know that you're going to be tired, angry, frustrated, whatever, and not want to work out and create the system. So it could be that you get a fitness buddy, you get a personal trainer, anything that is good, you know, you do like a fitness challenge with your family, whatever it is you think knowing you is going to motivate you, when you're not motivated. And that's really honestly the key is if people get anything from today, it's just that health is very much about brain management and understanding the cognitive distortions that our brains sort of put to us, and knowing that with that cognitive distortion, like it's going to be this wave of motivation and frustration, and you're going to feel all the emotions. And so how do you create systems that curtail those emotions? And so that you don't make a momentary decision that derails you from the future goal that you want.
So what do you feel is the most effective approach to actually losing weight?
Oh, wow. Actually losing weight. Oh, I think it depends on the person. I think that unfortunately with health and wellness, it's all very personal dependent because, you know, if the reason why you lose weight, I'm sorry, that you've gained weight is that you're an emotional eater, well, then the most important thing for you is to figure out how to get that emotional eating under control. Like maybe you need to get therapy or join like an eating group. If the reason why you've gained weight is that you drink too much alcohol, and then when you drink alcohol, your sort of self-survey muscle is weak, and then you end up eating too much food, and then, you know, you have an alcohol hangover, and then you don't want to exercise, then that's your sort of top domino. If the reason why it's hard for you to lose weight is because your hormones are out of mash, like that could be that you need more sleep. It could be that you actually need less exercise. Like a lot of women get into this thing where they're exercising almost too much, not sleeping enough, and then they mess up their hormones, and then they are like holding on to weight that they can't let go of. It could be that you haven't found an exercise routine that you like. It could be that you're not sort of drinking water, so you always are mistaking hunger for actually you're just dehydrated and you need to drink more, and then that'll help you eat less. It could be that you're not having enough protein, so you're feeling unsatisfied, so you're snacking a lot on sugar. I don't know. I think that what I'll say is it all goes underneath the umbrella term of awareness. Like, so take a week and journal. Journal what you eat, journal like some thoughts, journal how much you sleep, journal how much you exercise, and try to figure out what are the habits that you think you do versus the habits that you actually do, and what are the things that are derailing your progress. Like a lot of people overestimate the healthy choices that they make and the unhealthy. So they think like, oh, I only have one snack a week, and really they have two snacks a day, or, you know, I exercise every day, but really they exercise once a week. It's like the difference between your aspirational goals and your actual lived experience. And being honest with yourself, like, you know, if you say to yourself, oh, I eat really well, but really like you're mindlessly eating food when you cook for your family, and then you're eating like, you know, the meal while you cook and the meal when you're eating, and then you're like, why can't I lose weight? And it's like, well, you're actually eating two dinners. Well, that's the reason, right? So I don't know. I don't know if that helps your answer your question.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah.
So much of health is just knowing yourself and being honest with yourself, and building an awareness of, because most of us, there's so much going on in life, especially in COVID, like everything is so, our level of anxiety is so heightened that knowing ourselves and being really real with ourselves in a really compassionate and honest way, it's hard because there's so many things to stress out about and so many things to think about. So we often lose sight of ourselves.
Yeah, that's wonderful information. It truly is. And I wholeheartedly agree with everything you said, including the journaling. And, you know, research has found that those who journal lose 50% more weight than those who don't. So great tip there, Kathleen.
Yeah. And journaling doesn't necessarily mean just journaling your food, right? Like, I'm a big believer in, you know, journaling
your emotions too.
Journal your emotions, journal your self-talk, or even do, I call it the reproduce versus eliminate journal. So at the end of the day, like, take a seat and sort of think, okay, what are the habits that really served me and how can I reproduce those? And what are the habits that didn't really serve me and how can I work to eliminate those? So, you know, journaling could be that. It could be a free flow journal of just your thoughts. Like, let's, you know, if you feel like right now you don't have enough people to talk to and listen to you. And so maybe you just need to sort of talk to yourself in a journal and that'll make you feel happier. And, you know, if you feel happier, you're probably more likely to make healthier decisions, you know, in your life. So,
absolutely. So you talk about silencing the voice in your head that keeps sabotaging your health. Could you give us a little bit of more information on that?
Yeah, I love your questions, honestly.
Thank you.
Research. I really believe that for the most part, we all have this like evil roommate in our head. And we have the, like, it's a belittling evil person that if we actually lived with that person, we would break up with that person. We would like get out of our house. But for some reason, when it's in our own head, we think it's okay. And I'm a big believer in working on sort of growth oriented, productive self-talk. So I'm not saying like, you know, love yourself and just ignore all the bad things that you do and let yourself do whatever you want. So that's not what I'm saying. When I say getting rid of that, you know, inner critic, it's learning to turn your self-talk into something that is productive and helpful versus something that just makes you feel like such crap that you just want to reproduce all of the negative habits, right? Like if you say to yourself, you're a lazy, no good human being, well, just kind of makes you want to like eat more and stay and hang out on the sofa and just like drown all your sorrows.
Like, what's the point?
What is the point? Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I often say to people that it's about creating a self-talk like you would have with like your child or your best friend or somebody that you really respect and you care about, right? So if your kid came home from school and they were like, oh, you know, mom, I got a bad math exam. You wouldn't say to them, well, you're a lazy ass human being. You might as well never come out again, right? But you also wouldn't say like, oh, well, who cares? You'd say, interesting. Like, do we need to get you a tutor? Are you having a hard time with online learning? How can I support you? Are you not sleeping enough? Are you being bullied? And that's sort of what we have to learn to do with ourselves. It's like, oh, I just ate these 17 cookies. Interesting. Like, as opposed to being like, well, you're a bad person. You just sort of think, okay, well, was I sad? Was I tired? You know, am I frustrated? Am I scared? What's upstream of these things? And how can I learn to make sort of a choice that will serve me better in the future? So it's sort of this combination of Carol Dweck's idea of a growth mindset. And then just this idea of the difference between shame and guilt. So I'm a huge fan of Brené Brown, and she talks a lot about the idea of guilt is focusing on the behavior and shame is like connecting the behavior to you as a human being. So we want to get rid of the shame aspect and keep the behavior aspect, like focus on the behaviors you want to change, but don't let it be connected to your self-worth. And talk to somebody like you love and respect them. Like, how would you talk to your elderly parent or, as I said, your best friend, you know?
That's wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely. So you have a whole lot of different strategies to incorporate fitness into your daily routine. What's the concept of play and plug fitness that I saw on your website?
Ooh, okay. That's actually super fun. So that's the idea of taking out the cognitive load of exercise. Like if you ever come, you're like, oh, I have 30 minutes. I could exercise. And you're like, well, I could do this. I could do this. I could do that. Well, that's not perfect. Well, what about this? And then by the time you've actually decided what to do, you're like, oh, my 30 minutes is done, right? Or you come to, you know, 15 minutes and you don't even think like, oh, well, I could use this 15 minutes to be active because you're like, oh, I'm just going to go on social media or whatever. And so we flitter away all this time. So part of that is just taking out the thought process of what should I do and in advance creating a list of things you can do. So if you have a list of things you can do in 5 minutes and 10 minutes and 15 minutes and 20 minutes and half an hour, the next time you have 10 minutes, instead of going on your phone and scrolling through Instagram, you look at the list and all the cognitive load work has already been done. You look at the list and you're like, oh, interesting. Okay. In 10 minutes, I could do a 10 minute Tabata where I do, you know, 20 seconds of squats and 10 seconds of rest and for 4 minutes. And then I could do another 4 minutes where I do 20 seconds of push-ups and 10 seconds of rest, or I could put on music and I could dance around for 10 minutes or whatever it is. But the list is there. So you've preloaded that sort of thought. And you also, by making the list, you actually heighten your awareness of the fact that, you know, if you can find pockets of 5 minutes throughout the day, you know, if you find four pockets of 5 minutes, that's 20 minutes. And that's 20 minutes more you weren't getting yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think especially with COVID, we're all losing what I call like the snack aspect of fitness. Like most people are still doing pretty good job of doing like their quote unquote workout, but the things of like, oh, I'm just going to go at lunchtime and get a coffee, which involves getting some steps, or I walk to the subway or whatever it is, that snacking aspect. So this plug and playlist can be a great way to get some of those just like little bursts of activity that we used to get more of when we're out and about in the world a little bit more. But with everybody, even if you do still go to your office and you still get the subway there and back, you know, I'm sure your body would love a 5 minute sort of stretching break every couple of hours. And if it's if you have a plug and play list of all the stretches you can do in 5 minutes, bam, you'll feel so much better.
Oh, no, that's a great point. I'm just curious. I mean, how much total exercise do you think that you actually get a day personally?
Oh, good question. So I, unfortunately, right now I'm dealing with an injury. So right now I'm limited to sort of my physio exercises, upper body workouts, and steps. But normally what I try is a minimum of 10,000 steps a day, just like lifestyle style steps. So I have a treadmill because I have a studio. And so I will often answer emails just kind of walking on the treadmill, not as exercise, but just as movement. I mean, I'd rather be on the treadmill moving versus like sitting and answering emails. So I do that. We have a puppy dog. So normally every night after I'm done work and James has done work, we'll go and take the dog for like a 20 minute walk. And then on top of the sort of steps that I get, I really try to get, five or so cardio workouts. So either running or Peloton, and then, my physio strength stuff 3 or 4 days a week. I don't know. I'm pretty active. I feel so much better when I'm active. But it differs honestly, like depending on the time of my life. Like when I was doing Ironmans, I worked out like 20 hours a week with biking and running and swimming. And so it's way less than that.
You're doing amazing. Yeah. High five.
No, honestly, I am doing amazing. Thank you. I'll take the credit. But I don't look at it as doing amazing. What I look at it is like, this is my coping mechanism. Like COVID is super stressful. And even for somebody like me, who's really into, you know, finding solutions and finding like ways, I'm really into sort of creating habits by design versus default, like not letting life sweep me up, like really being very intentional about my health. But even for somebody like me, who's really like, I like rising to the challenge and being like, oh, this is, I'm being thrown a bunch of crap. So how do I make the best of this? And how do I control what I can control and all that stuff? I actually quite enjoy the challenge, but I have to tell you that it's still very stressful life right now. And so for me, since moving is a coping mechanism, I'm probably actually moving more than I used to, because I'm more anxious and it is just harder life right now. Mm-hmm. So,
but you're walking the talk. I mean, you tell people to find what works for them, and that's exactly what you've done.
Thank you.
That's great. Yeah.
Intentionality. Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say being intentional is key. Like I think the more stressful life is, the more it's easy for life to sort of sweep you up in its path.
Oh yeah.
Everybody else's agenda to become your agenda, you know, versus saying like, no, these are the things that are my priority for the day. And moving is one of those priorities, even if it's 10 minutes.
And right. You also did like absolutely substitute or did not substitute, you know, this kind of the movement part of it for alcohol, sugary foods, and all that kind of stuff. So it says a lot about your mindset.
I try. And it did take a little bit of sort of figure tweaking at the beginning, because I'm a trainer, right? And I see people, and before COVID I saw people in person. And although that's not a lot of like quote unquote exercise, it is movement, like picking up the weights, giving the person the weights, bending over, stretching them. And so when Zoom first started, like now I'm doing all my training over Zoom, and I was sitting for hours looking at these people, and like, I was getting so stiff, my back was hurting and my hip was hurting. So it took me a while to figure out, okay, so I got this little mini trampoline, and in between sessions, I have like a 50 minute hour. So I have 10 minutes in between sessions, and I'll go get some water, go to the bathroom. And then I jump on my trampoline and I'll like look at my emails on my phone as I sort of jump around. So I had to really like be very, and that's when I got my Fitbit and started to care about my steps. I never used to really track my steps, but then I was like, oh my God, I'm not moving. I'm like sitting. So yeah, it's intentional and it took some tweaking, right? Like, so it's never perfect. You don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to get great.
It's the key word of the day, intentional. So let me ask you the two questions in one. What are your feelings about willpower, and how is habit really the key to success?
Ooh, okay. So I'll start with willpower because again, I think one of the sort of misnomers about fitness is like either you have motivation, like you're the type of person who has motivation, or you're the type of person who has willpower, or you're not. Mm-hmm. And that both of them are sort of like an on off switch. Like it's either that you have it all or you have nothing. And I think with willpower, it's similar to motivation in that it comes and goes. Willpower, I like to think of it as akin to like a muscle. It's your self-survey muscle. So the problem with willpower is you start off the day normally with a lot of control, and then, you know, your boss yells at you and you don't yell at your boss back because you're self-surveying. Your kids are going crazy and you are very kind to them. You're self-surveying. You know, your friend calls and complains about the same thing for the millionth time, and you don't say like, ah, you say, oh yeah, I'm so sorry. And then what happens is you get to like, you know, 5 o'clock and you're supposed to do your workout, and your willpower muscle is sort of exhausted, and you're like, screw it, I'm just gonna like not eat a bunch of bad food and sit and watch Netflix. And so the trick, again, just to, as you understand that motivation is this wave, you have to appreciate that you're not always going to have willpower. So you have to create systems that set your future self up for success. And I'm a big believer in systems. Systems are the intentional thing that you create. That means hopefully you will unconscious, like you will create habits. So if you think about habits as the unconscious things that you do, right? Like you don't really have to think about brushing your teeth. You just sort of do it. You don't really have to think about, I don't even know what it, like so many examples. Like for me, exercise is almost one of those habits. Like I don't really have to think about should I or shouldn't I just sort of do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like you said, it's a built-in mechanism.
Yeah, essentially. Automatic. Yeah. Like maybe in the shower, I don't really think about, you know, taking the soap and washing.
Yeah.
It just sort of happens. But the thing about habits is they have to first be intentionally created. And that's, I think, where people get the link wrong, is they think like, oh, well, I will just create a habit and it'll just happen. But a habit takes a lot of practice and repetition. So in order to make it a habit, you first have to create the system. So the systems are things that automate your future self. So I don't know if you guys know the story of Odysseus, the like in the sirens. It's like a Greek god myth. And basically there's these beautiful sirens. And so as boats go by, the sirens call to these sailors, and then the boat gets derailed by the sirens. And so Odysseus is like, I know that I'm going to meet these sirens. So I have to tie myself up so that when the sirens call to me, I don't have any ability to go to them because I'm literally tied up. And that's, if you think about systems, that's what they are. They're things that when your future self wants to go to the sirens, and if the sirens are the cookies or the cakes or the missing the workout, that you're already tied up, right? If you have the personal trainer, you have to go to the workout because you have the session is booked. That is yourself tying your future self up. You go to a trainer for enough times, that becomes, the exercise becomes more of a habit. So the habit is the future state that you want, that sort of fairly unconscious way of being. And the more healthy habits you have, the more unconscious health becomes. But the systems are what you have to set up between now and when the habit is produced to keep you on your health horse.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, I think that one of the things, and I had a very, very loaded question that I was going to ask you to wrap the show up, but I might not do that. I'll probably, let's talk about it maybe via email, and we'll do it offline, because it's probably something's going to take another 30 minutes to go over. But
or I'll come back and I'll do another show. I love it.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. We'd love to have you back.
And yes.
Yeah, one of the things is about the systems. Can you just like explain right now for somebody who's very new to the habit building idea and what a system would look like? Can you just give a basic idea of what they can do right now system wise to incorporate into their future?
I love that question. I think the simplest thing is schedule it in. Be intentional. I think a lot of people think that health is just going to happen. Like hope is the strategy. Oh, I'll work out this week. So when I work with clients, I get them to write down the WWWH of their health habits, of their system. So what are they going to do is the first W. Where are they going to do it? When are they going to do it? So it's not like, oh, I will work out Monday. It's like, okay, I will work out in the morning before work for 20 minutes and I will do, you know, the Peloton app is free right now. I'll get that. And I will do a 20 minute walk outdoors, a Peloton walk. The last one though, and this is the most critical, is the how is it going to happen? Because again, people sort of think like, oh, well, if I wish it, so it's going to happen. Well, no, you have to create very detailed plan, and the how is critical. So what accommodations do I have to make? If I have kids, okay, I want to go for a 20 minute walk. Do I have to take the kids in the stroller? Do I have to get my husband or wife to say like, I, you know, they will manage the kids during those 20 minutes so I can go for my exercise? Like, do you sort of tag team and then you switch and the other person gets to exercise? What accommodations, you know, it could be that you already take your dog for a walk. So you decide, okay, I'm going to use my 20 minute dog walk, but instead of sauntering along, I'm going to do fartlek intervals, which is where you go sort of fast until you meet a, like a stop sign, or like you pick a random thing and you go quickly towards that and then you chill out. Or maybe you say, I'm going to go to the dog park. And when I throw the ball for the dog, I'm going to do lunges or squats or jumping jacks. But that's the how, right? So you have to really figure out when is it going to happen? What exactly are you going to do? So it's not just like, I will work out. Are you going to do weights? Are you going to do yoga by Adrian? Are you going to do the Fitness Marshall, which is like a dance program? There's Body Project, which is out of Australia, which is like aerobics. So get all of those ducks in a row, and then set an alarm, and put in, you know, an out of office if you need to, if it's during your work day, or if you're going to do it at lunchtime, you know, schedule those blocks in your calendar. And then, as I said, when it comes to be your workout time, you put an out of office that says I've gone to the gym, and your gym could be 2 feet away, but that's where it is. Or, you know, you go for a walk or whatever it is. And figure out the way that that's going to work for you. Like, if you need to get your family involved, maybe what it is you say to your partner, okay, every day after dinner, we're going to go for a walk. And so your system is that accountability buddy. Or maybe you say, you know, we're going to do a family challenge where everybody needs to get 10,000 steps. And whoever gets the most steps over the week, they get to pick family movie night, whatever it is. But just sort of, again, kind of circling on everything we've done, like knowing who you are, knowing what your fitness personality is, and using what you know about yourself to create really concrete, actionable steps of how you're going to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah.
So Kath, can you please give us all your information, how we could keep up with all the great stuff that you're doing, especially your website and your social media handles. So we can, again, you have tons of information on your website. So it's a very good resource for our listeners. So please share if you can.
Yeah. So my website is at kathleentrotter.com. And yeah, I have like a COVID sanity pack that has like podcasts and different workouts you can do at home and articles on, you know, motivation and mindset. I also do a bunch of like book reviews on my website. So if you're looking for fitness books, you know, I have reviews of Atomic Habits and Brené Brown books and Carol Dweck and like lots of wonderful things. So there's a whole book on, forget the name of the book, but I think it's name is Hardy, maybe. He wrote a whole book on motivation and willpower and the willpower muscle. There's a review on the website. So yeah, take a look at the website. And then on all the social media platforms, I'm Fit by Kathleen T. So on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And I love hearing from people. So just reach out if you have questions. If you're like, you know what, I still don't understand what a system is, let me know. I can send you articles. I can answer questions. You know, if you want inspiration on journaling, for example, I've read lots of articles on that. So just reach out and I'm happy to send you links or answer questions. Or I love this topic, as you can tell. So
yeah. Oh my gosh. You're absolutely wonderful.
Yes. You know, I honestly, can you like be my new best friend? I just need you to tell people.
So inspiring. Thank you for stopping by, and definitely we want you back. So
amazing. Well, you guys are awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Kat, have a great day.
Okay, take care. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of This Podcast Burns Fat. We're so excited to have you as a listener, and we're hoping that you've really enjoyed the content as well. And if you did, please run over to iTunes and provide a rating and or review. It will go a long way in helping us continuously build our listenership up so that we can provide you with the excellent content regarding fat loss, weight management, and just an overall healthy lifestyle. Thanks so much. Have a great night.